This morning, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me for about the next 15 minutes. Turn with me to the 100th Psalm. And I want to talk to you this morning about, I think, probably the best word I can think about for Memorial Day is the word service. Service. And no word summarizes Memorial Day better than the word service. And today we salute. We have salute and remember all who serve this country, those who've served the flag. And I want to ask you to do something special now. Before we read the scripture, I want you to stand together. Let's pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Let's do that. I love Bible school because we go through all those salutes. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, Christian flag, and then to the Bible. But if you remember that, let's pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you and be seated. I want to read now the Word of God, Psalm 100, and just five verses here. It is, I have been preaching through some of the great themes of the Bible in recent weeks. One of them I preached on not long ago was Luke 15, which is the prodigal son. Another that I preached on was Luke 23, the cross. Last Sunday I preached on, how many think they can remember what I preached on last Sunday? One of the great themes of the Bible, David and Goliath from 1 Samuel 17. And this morning I want to give you another. My favorite psalm, probably my favorite psalm. What would yours be, Peggy? My favorite psalm would be 23. How many of that be your favorite psalm? How many? Somebody give me another favorite psalm. Anybody? Psalm 1. Who said that? Psalm 1. He said 51. That's a great one, Jess. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. It's another great one. I love Psalm 121. It said, David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. I love 121, Pete. But this is a great one too. Psalm 100 is a great one. And I use it today on this Memorial Day weekend. I want to, because I love the uniform. I wore the uniform for 34 years. Anybody outdo me? That's about the only thing I could do. And this, but I love that uniform. 34 years. I wore the uniform. I'm still at home on a military installation. I will this week say the prayer at the ceremony of one of my friends who's given up command at Fort Rucker on Wednesday. And then I'm going up on Thursday to do the change of command for the commander at Redstone Arsenal. He is a two-star general. We used to jump out of planes together, and he said, will you come and be part of my ceremony? Have the prayer. And another friend who is a four-star general, the only four-star female in the Army, and she'll be conducting that. She's another old paratrooper. I jumped out of planes with her too, Rick. And we did that years ago in Arkansas. Jumped, was a paratrooper. But anyway, I love the military. I love and appreciate Craig's necktie today. I couldn't find mine this morning. But anybody else got a good necktie, a patriotic necktie? Did y'all see? Look back. I got one right there. There's a retired major right back there. He got on a necktie. This morning from Psalm chapter 1, and I read chapter 100, first verse, where the psalmist said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Just five verses here, but I think it says so much. Three principles I'm going to point out to you this morning in serving the Lord with gladness. If you're going to serve the Lord with gladness, and that's what he says here, it's a cry of joy. He says it's a signal to begin the battle. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And that's what I gave the title of my message today. But I want to make 3 points here real quick this morning. I think there are 3 principles if you're going to serve the Lord that determine really our service to Christ. 3 principles. And first one you see in chapter and verse 3 of Psalm 100, and that is the claim to service. The Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us." God has a claim. First claim is His creative claim. God created us. God said to him, "Before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew you, ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." Isaiah 43, God said, "I am the Lord your creator." Psalm 27 says, David said, "He took me out of the womb." And you go on and on. I was reading Job last night, and Job said, "He made me." God made us. He created every one of us. And I don't care what your mom and daddy had in mind before you came into this world. I don't care what the doctors or the nurses had to do with it. Really, it was God is your creator. God planned you. God created you. He is your creator and my creator. And I don't care whatever else happens. We live and move. We are in His divine, really in the orbit of divine providence. And God has something. You know, it don't matter if He wants to recall our spirit or prolong our life. We have nothing to do with that. He is in control. He decides our fate. He decides a lot of things about us. And I think he decides whether or not we'll be chastened. He decides our prosperity. He gave us our talents and gifts, our personalities, our abilities. God did all that. God did it. He's the creator. He has a creative claim on your life and on my life. Stephen Alford said, Stephen Alford was a great British preacher. He said his father was a missionary in Africa years ago. And he was trying to teach this principle, Bill, about God being the creator. And he said, this old African said, "White man, I think I understand what you're trying to say." He said, "My everyday job is to make axes. I make axes." And he said, "What I do is go in there and beat out that iron on the anvil, and then I carve out the axe handles, and I put it all together." Then he said, "I test those axes for weight and balance and effectiveness." He said, "But I have it completely in my hands. Whatever happens to the authority, I have complete authority over those axes." And he said, "I believe that's what you're trying to teach us about God, that He has complete authority over our lives because He is our creator." And that's what the psalmist says here. He said, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us." And then that is the creative claim. Second thing is the redemptive claim. The Bible says in that verse, "We are His people." We are His people. And when the Hebrews said that, Von Seal, it meant a lot to them. When they could say, "We are the people of God." They were remembering their great grandfather Abraham, whom God called from Ur of the Chaldees. He called him, the Bible says, He called him to go out not knowing whither. He didn't even know where he's going, Matt. And then for them to say, "We are His people," it would mean they would think of Moses, who led the people out of Egypt. They would think of Joshua, who led them across the Jordan River. And for them to say, "We are His people," that meant a lot, didn't it? It means a lot to people to say, "I'm an Auburn Tiger," or "I'm an Alabama Crimson Tide," or "I'm an Ole Miss Rebel." You know, it means a lot to some people to say, "I'm from Alabama," or "I'm from Florida." But for the Jew to say, "We are His people," and they can still say that today, but it's a meaningful thing, a significant thing to say, "We are His people. He is our God, and we are His people." Amen. Then I want to say the third thing is, he said here, not only the creative claim and the directive claim, the creative claim and the redemptive claim, but God redeemed them. And in the New Testament, Jesus, his redemption, what he did, he would die and was nailed to a cross for all of us. And we belong to him. It's like a little boy who made the sailboat, and he lost his little sailboat one day. But later on, several months later, to find it in a toy shop. And he saved up his money and bought back the little boat that he had, the little that he carved out with his own hands. And he got that boat back and he said, "I made you and I bought you and now you are mine." I want to tell you, God made us, he created us, he bought us with his own blood. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "You're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." Then I want to say the third thing is the directive claim. The Bible says here, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that's made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's who we are, the sheep. That means he directs us. Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep are stupid animals." I preached on this not long ago, I think. And sheep are kind of stupid animals, and so they need somebody to direct them, somebody to take care of them. And we are the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned on everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then in John 10:27, I love that with Jesus. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them from my hand." And so Jesus talked about us as being sheep. "My sheep hear my voice." And if you're God's sheep, I believe that's a good evidence. If you're listening to it, God speaks to you. God is directing your life. And so I want to say in that verse, Psalm chapter 100 and verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that's made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." That's his claim to service. Second point is his call to service. We're called to do two things in verse 4. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." The name above every name. Bless his name. Be thankful. Praise him. That's what it says. Enter with thanksgiving. And that's what God wants, I believe. Is people who have grateful hearts. It ought to be our prayer, Gary, every Sunday, every time we gather together, we come in here to praise him. Fanny J. Crosby, that little blind hymn writer many years ago, wrote more hymns in our Baptist hymn book than any other book, any other person, I guess. She was blind maybe from birth. Is that right, Craig? Almost from birth. But one of her favorite songs and one of my favorite songs from Miss Fanny J. Crosby is "Praise Him, Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer." That little blind girl wrote it many years ago. Praise him, praise him. And the Bible says here that is his call, that we give thanks, that our hearts overflow with gratitude and praise to him. And people need to see this. I believe the picture here in the Old Testament, in olden times, was that armies would stand up and they would march into the city giving it was a great processional at the city gate in view of everybody. They would march in and they play their musical instruments and they would sing and praise the Lord as a great testimony to heathen people. And you know, I believe God wants us to do that. I think when we moan and groan and complain about life, that's not a good testimony, is it? I've known people born in the objective mood. I've known people born in a negative, you know, everything negative rather than everything. You know, I like people with the glasses half what? Half full, not half empty. You know, and we ought to be people of praise. And I think about that sometimes. And I tell you, I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to get bitter about life. And I want to stay excited. And I want to stay happy about, and it may be the day, even small things. Everybody don't, you know, I don't know of a ball team. My ball team's in trouble right now. Y'all know who my ball team is? Well, guess who it is? Ole Miss. Yeah, but who's my baseball team? Atlanta Braves. What's the trouble? They just lost 6 in a row. That's the trouble. That's bad trouble, isn't it? But I don't want to get negative. I don't want to get down on my team. Because a week ago, they were a great team, weren't they? But anyway, the Bible says here, second, the call on your life and my life. First thing in verse 3 is the claim. Because He made us, because we are His people, and because He directs us. Then verse 4, the call to serve it. It is a call to thanksgiving. It is a call to praise and to give thanks unto Him and bless His name, the name above every name. And then I want to say, the last point is the compensation. If we serve the Lord, the Bible says in verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And I call this third C, compensation. First point was the claim. Number 2, the call. Number 3 is compensation. And that means the reward. If you serve the Lord, there's a reward. Isn't that right, Jeff? Pays to serve Jesus, don't it? And how long have you served Jesus? Most of your life, right? And Hal, how long have you served Jesus? Most of your life. And Skip, how long? Most of your life. And Sonny, how long? Most of my life. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day, pays every step of the way. The Bible teaches that where He guides, He provides. Where God leads, He feeds. God, and I think the compensation here, for the Lord is good. God is good. God, I think about that prayer I learned as a little boy growing up. God is good. God is great. Come on, help me. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands, we all are fed. Thank Him for our daily bread. That's a good prayer, isn't it? God is good. And that's what the psalmist said. Psalm 100. God is good and His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth all generations. How's God good to you? Well, one thing, He's good. He provides materially for you, don't He? You don't have anything God didn't give you the ability. God did that. He gives us our daily bread. God does that. God is good to, God's been good to me. I can speak for me. I don't know, maybe I can't speak for you, but you know the Bible said in Psalm 84, the Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and from the Father of lights. It all comes down from above. God gives it to you. And then I want to tell you, last thing I say, not only does He provide physically, materially, but He provides spiritually. This past week has been a kind of a challenging week. It's a great week for a lot of you. I know graduation at your house. A lot of kids graduated. It was a great week. School was out, right, Coach? Last day of school. How many teachers? Anybody, any other? I got a coach, last day of school, pretty big day. Challenge of the week in my life. See his uncle. In pretty serious condition right now. My brother, my only brother, pretty serious condition. Had a blood clot in his leg and did emergency surgery on Tuesday night. And he said on Wednesday, he said, if we hadn't done it, the doctor said, told him, Julius said, if I hadn't done it, he'd lost that leg. He would have lost some, maybe a foot, maybe the whole leg. And I've called him 2 or 3 or 4 times a day. And I plan to go to Baton Rouge in about an hour. So it's been a challenging week. But God's good. Some good things happened this week. I was eating lunch one day at Fort Rucker and came back through there one day and happened to be eating by myself. I don't usually do that. But that day I was kind of in a hurry to eat by myself. And a young captain got up and came over. He had his rank. I know he's a captain. He said, Chaplain Moore, I saw you sitting over here by yourself. I didn't. He said, I hadn't seen you in a long time. But he said, I just want to stop and tell you that I said yes to Christ. He said, I received Christ in 2005 in your chapel at Fort Rucker when I was a young lieutenant. I said, yes to Christ. And told me, going on now. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm going to finish up the advanced course. I'm going to be an foreign area officer. And me and my wife are going, my wife and kids I'm going to study Arabic. I'm off my way to language school. I'm going to learn to speak Arabic. And we're going to the Middle East. I'm going to be a... And so I said, God, I don't know. How far might that reach, Sharon? A young boy, a young soldier sitting on a pew. But he said yes to Christ. Came to live in him. And I said, Lord, you're so good to me. Let me be a part of that. Then Wednesday night, I think it was, we had one of our men came, and sometimes his name is Joe Jackson. Anybody know JoJo? Joe, some of you do, Judy does. Joe comes sometime, get a meal ticket, free meal ticket. Came to the office, and I said, told Tracy, I said, send old Joe on back. Let me talk to JoJo. Don't have much money. We never turn anybody away from a meal. But I said, Joe, I want to talk to you something more important than a meal. I said, now, Joe, I got three things I want to tell you. Number one, I'm 65 years old. Number two is, Joe, I'm going to die. He just looked down a little bit. He said, you going to die? I said, yeah, and you going to die. Maybe not right now, but, you know, he thought I was talking about right now, fixing to die, you know. But I said, no, not right now, but I am going to die one day, and you're going to die. And here's the third thing I want to tell you. Third thing I want to tell you is that when I die, I know where I'm going.
Amen.
Do you know that, Joe? And he said, no, I don't know that I can say that. And I said, well, you could say that. So right there in just a few minutes, old brother Joe Jackson put his hand, being in my hand, put his heart in God's heart. And I believe old Joe, he signed up for heaven that day. He's not here this morning, but I'm going to run him down in the street. I'll get him in the water sooner or later. I'll get him in the water. But I know for real. I said, now, Joe, are you serious? He said, I really was. I was serious. So God is good. God is good. They used to do it, God is good, all the time. All the time, God is good, that's right. God is good. The 100th Psalm, it's a great psalm. I hope you will. One of the first ones that I memorized. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lambs, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful and bless Him, and for His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations.